Welcome on this bright and early morning.
It's good to see all of you here this morning. Please be sure to read through the announcements to find out what's going on around here. One thing to highlight for our Lenten rotational this week, or for Lenten services, we do have a worship service, a reflective worship service on Wednesday mornings each week, and that's 10 o'clock in the chapel. And then for the rotational this week, we will be here at St. Paul's Lutheran, and that is supper at 6 o'clock and worship at 7. Okay, and I think, Pam, you got an announcement?
Supper, we're in need of a couple of more soups and sandwiches, so if you'd like to sign up, the sign-up's in the front of the church back there. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Pam. Anybody else with announcements? Anybody?
Okay, then I invite you to rise and sing our opening hymn, Spread, O Spread, Almighty Word.
We begin the service in the remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not kill.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit adultery.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not steal.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his cattle, or anything that is your neighbor's.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have offended you and for which I justly deserve your punishment. But I am sorry for them and repent of them and pray for your boundless mercy for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ. Be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Forgive my sins, give me your Holy Spirit for the amendment of my sinful life, and bring me to righteousness. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of sinners, but rather that they may turn from their wickedness and live. Therefore, we implore him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do on this day, that the rest of our life may be pure and holy, and that at the last we may come to his eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, consider the worthy desires of your humble servants. Reach out to defend us from evil by the word and work of your majestic right hand. Grant this, we pray, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn, You Are My Hiding Place. You may be seated.
Our first reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord. We'll read Psalm 95 responsively. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise.
For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. Our second reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because of God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter. So Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the 6th hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I might not be thirsty
or have to come here to draw water?" Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Come on up. And join me. Kind of feel somewhat like the person at the well and nobody's coming. All right. Here they come. Good morning. I don't think you'll regret it, because I've got something for you today. What would you say if I said, "I've got candy"? Would you be happy? Well, let's see. You ready for it? Here it is, right there. There's candy. Whoa, that's not what you expected, was it? No, that's not what you expected to find there when I said that, huh? Well, that's kind of what happened today in our gospel lesson. A lady who had some problems, really didn't want to see anybody, and really didn't want to talk to anybody, went to this one wonderful well that they got the water from all the time. But she went at a different time because she just didn't want to talk to anybody about all the problems she had or to see anybody at all. So she went at a different time when she thought nobody was going to be there. And guess what? There was somebody there. And it was Jesus. So that's even weirder, because usually you don't find men at the well, you find women at the well. So it was kind of strange anyway, but also he was from a different part of the country, and where he was from and where she was from, they didn't like each other. Not much at all. Didn't trust each other. And yet here he was, and he talks with her, and he starts to talk with her, and she realizes that he doesn't have anything to get water with, so he says, "Can I get you some water?" And he says, "No." Then the unexpected. "I'm going to give you some water that's going to last all the time." Where do you get this water, sir?" "So the water I'm going to give you is special." And that's when she starts to realize the unexpected, that he's special too, that he's Jesus, that he's the Christ that everybody's been looking for. And he's offering her a very special gift, a gift that will help her And all of a sudden, she's going and telling all the people. Now instead of sitting away from the people, now she's going and telling the people all about him and about this special water that he's offering her and that she's found. And all of a sudden, the unexpected is all these people who hate Jesus and the place he's coming from are coming to Jesus to find that same water. Isn't that neat? Guess what? That was a long time ago, but he still got that water for us, for you and me. It's right here in this place. It's in our worship. It's in our Bibles. It's in our communion up here. It's in the people that are out there sharing it with us. It's in Sunday school downstairs. That's where we get this living water that keeps us from being thirsty. So I hope you kind of come and see that water and find out what that lady found too. That special water that lives within us. Okay? That faith, because he's dying on the cross for that faith. He's approving us. I'm going to give you a place with me in heaven, with God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and me. And guess what? I was kind of mean, but I'm not going to be totally mean to you. I got candy to give you. Meet me downstairs for Sunday school, and I'll have it out there on the table, okay? All right? And don't forget, look out for the unexpected. That special water that we get here that he offered that lady, okay? Have a good day, and I'll see you downstairs with the candy, okay?
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As you noticed, we had a rather lengthy gospel reading today. John is good at that, at writing longer narratives, but the stories just kind of flow in there, and there's always so much within those stories. And one thing I do like about John's stories, sometimes there's even a little bit of snarkiness in these. I think about the story of the man born blind, of how snarky that blind man, or the man who has been healed, gets with the Pharisees, even to the point that he gets the best of the Pharisees, and the Pharisees just say, "Get out of here." We have a little bit of that here in this story as well then today. But I'd like to phrase this story in a question or in a thought about just how our lives seem to be so often. You know, you wake up in the morning, you get ready for the day, you go to work or you go to school or you go about your business during the day, you come home, you eat some supper, you might do a few more chores, and you go to bed. And then you wake up the next morning, you get ready for the day, you go to work, you go to school, you do the things around the house or wherever you do during the day, you come home, fix supper, do a few chores, and you go to bed. Does it seem like the days just kind of blur together? Kind of get in that rhythm and that pattern where just all of a sudden you wonder, where'd that last month go? Or where'd that last year go? Or you look back and say, I'm no longer a kid, I'm now an adult. Or you look and say, I'm no longer young, I'm middle-aged. Or I'm not middle-aged anymore, I'm getting old. And it just seems like life just kind of flows on through and you wonder where it went. What is there to life? What is there? Yeah, it gets broken up every once in a while with maybe a few celebrations, a few good things that happen. And then there's always the tragedies that tear up our life. But we wonder, just what's the purpose of this life? Where are we going? Where are we headed? It sure isn't what I had thought life would be or what I had planned. I think that's what we run up against here in this story, or this woman at the well runs up against. We learn from the story that she has had five husbands. I'm sure she didn't plan her life that way, but she is a survivor. She's still continuing to go. She had five husbands, and now the man she's with is not her husband. We don't know her background. We don't know what happened to those previous five husbands, whether it was a very tragic experience for her to maybe all five of them died. Maybe some of them kicked her out of the house or divorced her. Maybe some of them were abusive, and she had to leave. We don't know about those five husbands. of why she is not with one of them. But she's a survivor. But being a survivor then too, she's not necessarily welcome within the community. Normally, women would come to the well in the morning after they had fixed breakfast and got kids together and off to doing what they need to do, or got their husbands off and to work, fed them. They would come to the well. The women would come, and most of the women would come at the same time to get the water for the day, to last through the night and into the next time that they needed water. They would come, and it wasn't only just for the purpose of getting water, but it was also a time to catch up on the news and share a little bit of gossip of what's going on, or to find out who's hurting or who needs some help, or who did what kind of scandals are going on. And more than likely, this woman at the well that Jesus meets with was probably a subject of a lot of that talk. She was kind of on the outside, and she just doesn't want to deal with it. So she doesn't go at the normal time to get water. She doesn't want to be there with the rest of the women. And she wants to go at a quiet time and be left alone. The woman is existing. She's existing in life. She is surviving in life. But you can tell she just does not have the life that she needs or wanted or planned for or expected. But there's Jesus. Jesus is at the well. And Jesus asked her for some water. And she's surprised. Again, she is a woman, an unescorted woman. You don't talk to men if you are an unescorted woman, especially a stranger. You do not do that. That's taboo. And then, too, she was a Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans and the Jews, they didn't necessarily get together or get along together very well. They were both Hebrew people. They were both from Hebrew stock. What had happened, why there was an animosity between the two, is because after King Solomon, Israel broke into two different nations. You had Israel in the north and you had Judah in the south. The Samaritans were in the north. They were from the tribes of the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. And it was right in the middle of the territory of Palestine. And so a lot of times when the Jews would go from the southern end to the northern end, they would bypass. They would go out of the way just so they wouldn't have to go through the middle of Samaria, because they didn't want to deal with the Samaritans. They looked down upon the Samaritans. The Samaritans looked at the Jews as being uppity, and so they just didn't get along. And one of the main reasons they didn't get along is when the kingdom split, so did the worship site. For those from Judah, from the southern end, the holy place was Mount Zion. That's where they went to worship. There in Jerusalem on Mount Zion was the place of worship. For those in Samaria, it was Mount Gerizim, there close to Shechem. And that's where, and that is where this story takes place, at the well of Jacob. That was a holy site. The well of Jacob and that Mount Gerizim was right there. And so when she points to the mountain, this is where we worship, it's right there. They can see it from the point that they're sitting at. And so there's a divide here between these people. And so she's surprised that Jesus would even talk to her, because she is a woman, unescorted woman. She is also a Samaritan. And so they have this kind of banter going back and forth. Why do you ask me for water? Why do you talk to me, a woman and a Samaritan? And Jesus answers, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me for water that lasts, for living water. I can see just how this kind of plays out. She says, I would ask from you some water? She looks down at the well and says, that well is awfully deep. And she looks at Jesus and says, you don't even have a bucket. How are you going to give me living water? Where are you going to get it from? Are you better than Jacob? He dug the well. He brought the water here. He drank from it himself. His sons drank from it. He fed his livestock, and we have been living here all this time, the descendants, and have been drinking this water. Where are you going to get living water. And Jesus says that the water that he has to give will last. If you drink water from this well, you're going to be thirsty again. You're going to have to come back tomorrow and draw more water. But the water that I have for you, you will never be thirsty again. And the woman says, man, that's a pretty good deal. Give me some of that water. That way I don't have to keep dragging my big old water jar out here and drawing water every single day. Give me that water that lasts. And then that's when Jesus goes deep. Yes, the well is deep, but Jesus goes deep with this woman. And he gets in that conversation with her and lets her know that he really does care about her, that he knows who she is. Even though they just met, he knows who she is. And that conversation goes deep. And somewhere in that conversation, life changes. She starts to understand what that living water truly is. And she is surprised. And that conversation then leads into worship. You know, she's still debating to a certain extent. You guys worship in Jerusalem. We worship right here on this mountain. And Jesus tells her, there will be a day coming soon when it doesn't matter where you worship, but you will worship in spirit and in truth. And when you do, you will have life, and you will have life abundantly. You will be filled. You will thirst no more. And about that time, the disciples show up again. And again, they're surprised. Here's an unescorted woman. She's from Samaria, and Jesus is talking to her. Well, by this time, the disciples have figured out, well, Jesus does funny things. He doesn't do things the way he's supposed to be done. And so they don't say anything. They know better by this point just to keep their mouth shut on it. But the woman sees him, and she goes back into town. But she's excited now. Life isn't just surviving. Life isn't just an existence. Life isn't just moving from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. She's excited. And she goes running in the town to this town where she is somewhat of an outcast. And she starts telling people, come out here and look. Come out here and see. Jesus is out here. Is he the Messiah? Come and check it out. Something has changed in her life. She has life now. She has excitement. The townspeople come. They listen to what Jesus has to say and they are amazed. They even invite him to stay. Jesus brings life. Not just life for existence, not just life to survive, but he actually brings life, everlasting life, into our lives, not only for after we die, but life now. Everlasting life now, within our lives here. Come. Come taste this water. Come drink this water from this deep well and have life. Have life abundantly. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn, Change My Heart, O God.
Thank you.
Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in Him, and are sealed with the promise of the Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, He is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken to the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life.
Let us lift our hearts and voices to the Lord in prayer that He would be merciful to His people. Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus, Your living water. Sometimes we don't realize how thirsty we are. Sometimes what we drink makes us even thirstier. Thank You that Jesus quenches our thirst for Your goodness, love, forgiveness, and life by filling us with Himself. Lord, in Your mercy. Jesus said, "The fields are ripe for harvest." Therefore, we pray, call, equip, and send new pastors and evangelists to preach the good news. Make each of us disciples on a mission with You to eagerly share the living water with the thirsty souls in our communities. Lord, in Your mercy. Thank You for everyone who makes clean water available throughout the world. Grant that all who benefit from pure and refreshing waters of this life may also be drawn to the living water of eternal life, Jesus Christ, Your Son. We also ask that You send rain to bring life to this earth. Lord, in Your mercy. God of righteousness, You call Your people to strive for justice and peace in all the world, following the example of our Lord Jesus. Grant wisdom and compassion to all in authority, that they may govern with justice and equity. Raise up faithful servants who will serve as peacemakers in places where violence and war is a daily reality, and for those who put themselves in harm's way in behalf of others. And shape us to be those who bear peace in our ordinary daily interactions. Lord, in Your mercy. Heavenly Father, hold in Your tender care all who suffer in any way, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. Strengthen and support caregivers and medical professionals that they may act with compassion and minister with technical skills. We pray especially for Lynn Magura, Elaine Molina, Rosa Harton, Joe Barnes, Janet Lemke, Marge Wilhelmson, Margie Bolting, Kermit Kaler, Larry Miller, Lana Creech, Alma Suggs, Gary Deskin, Aubrey Rupert, Kate Janice, and B. McNabb. Lord, in Your mercy. Sustaining God, renew us in the gift of baptism. Throughout this Lenten journey, may Your promise of new life in Christ move us to repentance and transformation. Cleanse our hearts, strengthen our faith, and keep us faithful to the covenant of baptism. Lord, in Your mercy. Into Your hands, gracious Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and commission of all that you have made. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God.
Lamb of God, you take away those sins.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, you gave your Son both as a sacrifice for sin and a model of the godly life. Enable us to receive him always with thanksgiving and to conform our lives to his through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God the Father, who does not despise the broken spirit, give you a contrite heart.
Amen.
May Christ, who bore our sins in his body on the tree, heal you by his wounds.
Amen.
May the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, speak to you words of pardon and peace.
Amen.
And may God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Our closing hymn, Lord of Glory, you have brought us.
Yeah.
As we leave from worship, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks.